Now T-Mobile has unlimited for the rest of us, and it starts as low as $30 per line for 4 lines. So if you want your family to take 800 vacation selfies to share with the world, now you can. Get unlimited for everyone now starting as low as $30 per line for 4 lines from T-Mobile. Call 1-800-T-Mobile or visit a store today.
During congestion, users on this plan may notice speeds lower than other users and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs per month. Video streams at 480p with autopay, plus taxes and fees. Unlimited data while on our network.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation. That you are to flee from the wrath to come. To flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
And welcome to G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, and I thank you for joining me tonight. Tonight we have a wonderful show planned for you. I have Beth Morris, who is going to be joining me very shortly here. I'm going to bring her on the line. And we're going to be talking about Rocking on the River and, 8 years that she spent out there. Also, at the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be having on the show, my guests will be Jennifer Pepling and Amina Diop of the Christian Collegiate Network. And so we're going to be having them on to talk to them about that ministry and what they do there. So, as like I said, Beth Morris is my guest today. She is a Christian sister that I've met maybe a couple years ago out at Rockin' on the River. And so, Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm thrilled to have you on the show and just looking forward to hearing your testimony as well as the faithfulness of being out there at Rockin' on the River. So to get started, why don't you go ahead and share with the listeners, a little bit about who you are and your testimony, how you came to Christ.
Back in high school, I remember someone with long hair. It was back in the Jesus Freak days, and someone with long hair down to the waist came to the high school and just prayed a prayer and told people to come forward and accept Jesus. And that's what I did, and I know now that if I would have died at that point, I would have gone to hell, not heaven. But at some point in my life, actually in 1998, I was diagnosed with MS, and God basically slammed me on my face. He definitely got my attention. I was crushed. And, it said God creates from nothing, and until you're nothing, God can't do anything with you. So he began to recreate me, and I was reborn. And then in January of 2002, I was flipping through the TV channels, and I caught Kirk Cameron on TBN. And I remember thinking, I didn't know he was a Christian. So I stopped and listened and was just blown away by the message. And what he was giving was Hell's Best Kept Secret by Ray Comfort. And so I immediately went on the website and ordered everything that I could get my hands on. And so then I began teaching the classes, or, you know, showing the videos and trying to get people to come out with me to share their faith. And I remember beginning at my all by myself. I went to way back and rolled, people probably don't even remember, Rolling Acres. And it's closed now. It's been closed for years. And but it was even down to a minimal crowd then. So I thought, well, I'll start there because, you know, there won't be too many people stoning me. But so anyways, I started there, and then that just kept me going. And I finally found somebody told me about Front Street Mall. And so I went there at the end of summer of 2006, didn't know about Rockin' on the River at that point. And so then that's where I started, and I actually was witnessing to the kids that were walking home from school, because I was there like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, not even knowing about Rockin' on the River. And, of course, when you're out there sharing your faith, all kinds of problems come up. I mean, everybody called the police on me. Even the maintenance workers would call the call the police on me. And so my husband and my daughter would come with me, so they were there for moral support and protection, just in case. But from the very beginning, you know, I got a lot of guff from everybody possible, and the police would come, and they would tell me I needed a permit to do what I was doing. So I called, you know, the downtown offices at Cuyahoga Falls. I even went down there, and I explained to them what I was doing, and they said that it wasn't necessary for me to need a permit. So then I found out about Front Street Mall, so I got really excited about that. And then as we started having classes, I would bring people out there, but, you know, generally they wouldn't stay very long. They'd come occasionally, but then I just kept on being troubled by the police. And so then I finally got a hold of a deputy director. Her name was Jennifer Six, and she was a total godsend. She was such a blessing to me. There's been many phone calls with her. I've never met her personally, but she told me to come to her office and give business cards. She would give me business cards to give out to people who gave me hassled me about it. And so I went down there and I picked up the cards, and just over the time period, you know, people would give me a hard time, and I would just give her her card. But you know, I just told her, you know, basically what she needs to do is not waste the police's time and tell, you know, get with the police chief and have him tell the police there that you know, have a meeting or whatever and speak of this, that I'm going to be there, I'm not going to go anywhere, and they're stuck with me, so basically they better just leave me alone because I'm not going to go anywhere. So over the time, it's been, you know, where police have tried to shut me down, and they don't even tell, you know, don't even ask my name, but the first thing I know, the next day, she's calling me and says, what's going on? What happened down there? Knowing that it was me. So it's just been, it's been a hassle, but, you know, the first two or three years were really tough. But eventually it slowed down, and it's been, you know, I've had more and more people come and join me, and I told her, I said, you better tell them that next summer, because I was teaching the classes, and I was convinced that there would be people out sharing their faith because there was a place to do it now, you know. So I told her, I said, there's going to be 30 people out here with me. And so the next summer, I went to, in 2008, I went to the Ambassadors Academy in California. And I came back on fire more than ever. And I quit going to the church I was had been going to member of for 10 years. And then I started going to a church in Rocky River. And I told the pastor there what I had told the people down in Cuyahoga Falls. And I said, there's going to be 30 people. And I said, I have no idea where that number came from. But he went on Facebook and started a page like you did for the Oktoberfest in Rockin' on the River this summer. He called it The 30. So we put it on Facebook, you know, come and you know, share Christ on at Front Street Mall. And we've had as high as 37 people on at Front Street Mall sharing Christ. So it's been a blessing. And and now I've started at another church closer to Akron where I live, and I'm going to have to start, you know, grouping people, you know, coming and asking them if they'll come out and share Christ at Front Street Mall, whatever. I'm hoping that, you know, since they closed down the Rockin' on the River, that they'll have something else at Front Street Mall next summer.
Well, real quickly, why don't you share with the listeners who may not be aware of what Rockin' on the River is, what that event was?
Well, it's Front Street Mall in Cuyahoga Falls, and what they've done is years ago they shut the street down and they just bricked it over and or left the bricks there and closed it off where people just walk back and forth. So it's like an open mall. And it's got stores and restaurants. And what they do in the summertime, they used to have it on Fridays and Saturdays, but for the last several years, it's only been on Fridays, where they have rock groups come and people that have, like, they'll do Journey music or Led Zeppelin or such, you know. And it draws between 8 and 10,000 people a night on Friday nights on average. And it's just amazing. Over the years, I've started with signs, and signs where I'll ask a brain test, you know, left brain, right brain, give them colors. I'll give trivia questions. I've given candy out for correct answers just to get them to stop. And then after they go through the trivia questions, then I'll give them the good person test. And, of course, when I ask them if they're a good person, 99.9% of people say, yes, I am a good person. And then you take them through the law, and they find out that they're liars and thieves and adulterers at heart and such. And I've given out thousands and thousands of million-dollar tracts. That's my favorite. I've given out other tracts, but that's my favorite, the million-dollar. That seems to get people's attention, the $1 million. And so then about 2 or 3 years ago, then I always said, you know, even when I went to the academy in 2008, I said I would never open air preach. And then about 3 years ago, God started working on me, and you know, I thought, well, I'll just get up and read the Bible. And sometimes I would just read a tract. And then I started where I come up with a message that would present the law and the gospel. So I started doing that. So at Front Street Mall, Rockin' on the River, you could do anything that basically you were comfortable doing. If you wanted to just stand there, and I've even practiced it, you could even stand there and not open your mouth and just hand the track, and people will take the track out of your hand. Or you can say, did you get one of these? Or you can share one-to-one. You can talk with people and get into conversations with them. Or you can open air preach. Whatever your comfort level is, it's been able to have that happen for people. So it's been such a blessing, such an amazing blessing.
Yeah, I would say that Front Street Mall, being out there the last 2 years, and that's one of the things that I would try to encourage people that were interested in sharing the gospel, saying that, look, come out to Front Street Mall, because, like you said, you could just stand there and hand tracts to people. You don't even have to say anything if you're not at that comfort level yet, you know. And it's a good place for training people who want to get in to sharing the gospel, because you've seen this year, I've had some people that came out with me that it's just the environment is not as hostile. Not that people don't get upset with you or, you know, at times it doesn't happen, but it's not as hostile as some of the other places where I've been. And so I was just like, you know, this is a great training place for people who want to get into learning how to share the faith, and having people like yourself and others out there who've been doing it for a while that they can kind of just stand by and hear and learn from, you know. So it's been a great tool. And this year was, again, it's sad that it's closing down. The Rockin' on the River is not going to be that event is not going to be there anymore. Hopefully they will have other things going on, but they won't have the Rockin' on the River. But it was great, because this year I had some people come out that, you know, because sometimes you can get a little discouraged, and it's just like, well, you know, I'm inviting people, and they're saying, yeah, I'll come, or I want to go, but then they don't come. And I understand not everybody can go all the time, and we understand that, you know, we know that. But you just say, man, this is just a great place to go and learn how to share the gospel. And
absolutely, like Mark Cahill says, let the devil draw them and we'll witness to them. And that's been an excellent place. I mean, I have grown so much in the last 8 years. I've been there every summer for 8 years. And, you know, in the beginning, it was just unbelievable. I would watch those videos of Ray's, and it's so funny how you would take them through the law and the gospel like he teaches you, and then you would ask them questions, and it was like, wow, did you watch the videos? I mean, it was the same thing that he had people saying on the videos. It was just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time that it was the very first time that I got up on the box, and I was preaching the law and the gospel, and a 12-year-old boy, when I got off the box, said, pulled me aside, and he said, I've done those things. He says, what do I have to do to be saved? And I thought, wow, did somebody tell you that to say? Because it was so bizarre. But, you know, it's just so, it's like the book of Acts. You know, you just, it's just been amazing. It's been a total blessing. And I just know that God will derive something. And I just hope it's God-honoring that whatever happens. But it's been just an amazing time. And I've enjoyed meeting all the people that I've met. You know, even though, you know, some people think I'm judgmental.
I wonder who you're talking about. Who could that be that you are talking about? What's wrong with somebody
you
think you're judgmental?
You wouldn't know. I don't know. You wouldn't know about them, but, you know, because you're too nice.
I wasn't even going to bring that up today. I was like, I'm not going to pick on her. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to bring her on, because I truly have been blessed by getting to know you out there. And so can you share with us, you know, quickly.
Don't be too nice to me now.
Oh, I'm holding it back. But share with us a little bit about some of the encounters that you may have had with people that over the years, like, and I don't know his last name, and it doesn't have to be mentioned, but the young kid, Rob, who was an atheist, and somebody you met the first year, and still you would have conversations with him all the way up until just this last week, 2 weeks ago when we was out there.
Yeah, Rob is very, very confusing. You know, with most atheists these days, you see such anger from them. But Rob, every year, every summer, he comes and he spends, I mean, at times it's been an hour conversation with him. And it's been conversations about anything and everything, the music he likes, and he's genuinely interested in having a conversation. And he knows, because he's mentioned to me, I mean, he's come out and told me that he knows that the only reason I'm there is because I care. And he really, and that's what people have to remember, is that you have to have a genuine heart for the lost. And
Amen.
And if you have Jesus Christ in your life, in your heart, then you will have compassion for the lost, because where they end up, nobody would want. But Rob has... he was there the very first summer, and summer after summer, he keeps coming and having conversations with me. Unfortunately, he's still an atheist, but I had several conversations with him this past summer where I mentioned that Front Street Mall, or Rockin' on the River, was ending, and it was so funny how he would say, well, they've got something else going, you know, you'll come back for that. And I said, well, you know, you never know. I mean, the Lord knows, but I don't know what's going to happen. And then he found out that there was going to be Cirque du Soleil type people there. And I said, well, I don't know whether that's going to draw much of a crowd. But he says back to me, well, people who like Cirque du Soleil, don't they need Jesus? And
wow.
I'm thinking...
Yeah.
Wow, you're trying to convince me to come, keep coming. So it's really a strange conversation and relationship that I've had with Rob. But he's talked with everybody. He talked with Chris. You know, he had hours and hours of conversations with Chris. And everybody that's been out there, Rob has had conversations with. You know, he's very intelligent. And he knows all the, you know, all the wording of, you know, everything that you can talk about if you're an atheist. And I only want to know the truth. A lot of people want to talk about, you know, other religions, other beliefs, other, you know, evolution till, you know, you're dry in the mouth. But I only know Christ crucified, and that's what I talk to people about. You know, if they go out, you know, off in a rabbit trail, I bring them right back, you know. And
right.
So there's been, you know, it's been many a times. There's a gentleman with Ray Comfort that has a picture in his office that his wife took, Scotty, and it's called The Look. And there's been, over the years, so many people that had that look on their face like, wow, I'm hearing truth, and they know it. And so, you know, that's what feeds me, you know. I just keep sharing because, you know, it's not up to us to convict or convert. That's God's job. It's just our job to converse, and that's what
Amen.
I've done over the years.
Right.
So it's been a fantastic thing. There's nothing like it, because when you go out witnessing and you talk to people and they have different questions, it just sends you right back to your Bible, you know, because you have to find the answers to these people's questions. So it just
right.
makes you dig into your Bible more and more. So it's a constant feeding, you know. Your Bible sends you back out, and then the people send you back to your Bible. So it's been a blessing, and I just hope to God that there is something that, you know, that doesn't go to waste, because it's been a real blessing. And I look forward
right.
to being there out there with you again.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, this Friday, as you know, there's not Rockin' on the River, but there is that Oktoberfest going on there, and we do plan on being out there. So I'm looking forward to being out there and seeing everybody that day.
Yeah, yeah. People will have an opportunity just to check it out. Hmm. It's not like Rockin' on the River. There'll be people drinking, but you know, you can work around that. And there's just there's always a an opportunity, you know. So there's there's been plenty of people that I remember specifically. I remember a Dwayne that passed me by in a wheelchair, and he wouldn't take a track from me. And like 10 minutes later, he came back and he said, show me what you were going to give me. So I showed it to him, and I started talking with him. And it took about, 20 minutes into the conversation, and then you find out why he's so angry with God, because of what put him in the wheelchair, and he blames mm-hmm. God. Well, I had a perfect opportunity to share with him that I have MS, and, I can barely stand up, but, it didn't drive me away from God. It drove me to him,
Amen.
So it's just been a blessing after, it's been an experience, and I just look forward to whatever God has in mind for the next year.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, I hope that Cuyahoga Falls does bring some other stuff in there on Friday nights, because I would love to continue that in the summer to be out there with you guys. And we've met a lot of wonderful people that come out there on Friday nights. Just this last year, it's been a great encouragement. And then even this last night that we were there, another guy from around the area, from Parma, not Parma, but from the area, Adam, he came out and offered up another area where you guys went last Friday. That's first Fridays in, Canton.
Fifth in Cleveland. In Cleveland and Canton. And it was an interesting, It's basically street corners that they stand on, and Adam even had set up something for me, because he thought that when I go out, I always open air preach. And I said, no, I don't have to open air preach. I said, it just just depends on the area, But he'd already mm-hmm. Set something up, and I said, you can do it. And so he ended up going up and open air preaching, and he said he had done it a while back, but he did a good job. He did a good job conveying the law and the gospel.
Right.
So it's amazing.
Yeah, praise the Lord, Beth. I do appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us. You've been a true testimony to me and to others, a blessing to me, and I know to others as well, for your faithfulness in continuing to go out to Rockin' on the River for 8 years on Friday nights, just continuing to go out and share the gospel. And so praise the Lord for that. And thank you for coming on the show, and I really do appreciate it.
Okay, well, that's anytime. Anytime, I appreciate your invitation.
Right.
Next time
you
have an evening for judgmental people, give me a call.
Yeah, we'll do a show on judgmental people, and you will be my first guest. So, no, that's all in fun. I love you. You're a great sister in Christ, and you've truly been a blessing. So, thank you for your faithfulness, and the Lord is sovereign. And his word never returns void. So that 8 years of laboring out there, praise the Lord for it. He will do what he desires to do. So
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
All right. Amen.
So thanks again for coming on, Beth.
Okay, thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
All right, we're going to have a quick commercial break, and then we will be back to talk with Jennifer Peppling of Christian Collegian Network.
If you want to grow in your understanding of God's Word and learn to study the Bible for yourself, join Pastor Andrew Rappaport as he teaches each week from the Word of God. The teaching is free through the Internet, but paid students receive a syllabus for each course with extra study materials. The cost is only $50 per year, with special pricing for church groups. And you get to choose from the School of Biblical Hermeneutics or the School of Systematic Theology. Sign up today for Striving for Eternity Academy. Details at strivingforeternity.org.
Hey, George Alvarado here. Ever wondered why the majority of people who call themselves Christians don't share their faith? Do you know what you would call someone who does not regularly, consistently, and purposefully obey the Great Commission? Would you know what word to use? Apostasy, the greatest omission, answers these questions and more. My book not only coins a new word that Christians can use to describe the sin of not evangelizing, but it diagnoses the reasons why this sin is so rampant in our Western churches. And it provides a thorough, biblical understanding of the root causes so that you and other professing Christians can expose the greatest sin of omission. So whether you or your local church is on fire for the Lord, or you know somebody who is about as on fire as a wet match, this book is for you. Purchase your copy of Apostasy, the Greatest Omission at trackplanet.com and like our Facebook page to get the most recent updates concerning this book. Remember, it's Apostasy, the Greatest Omission at trackplanet.com.
And welcome back to G220 Radio. And now we're going to go into our conversation and talk about the Christian Collegian Network. And my guest tonight is Jennifer Pepling. We was also going to have Amina Diop, but she's unable to be here tonight. So we do have Jennifer, and Jennifer is the president of Christian Collegian Network, a campus leader at the University of Pittsburgh and Slippery Rock University. And so we are glad to have you with us tonight, Jennifer. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's a great blessing. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled to have you on to learn about your ministry. I know we met back at the Ohio Fire Conference. Was the first time where we actually was able to engage, and that was the first that I heard of the CCN ministry. And so, I wanted to have this opportunity to have you come on and share that with the listeners out there and how they may be able to get more familiar with the ministry if they do not know of it, and just to kind of get it familiar to those that may not know. So if you could just go ahead and share with us your testimony, how you came to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. I went to a Bible study, a women's Bible study. I had wanted to learn how to be a better mom. I wasn't a Christian, but the Bible study was also included learning how to be a better mother and a better wife, and one of the young ladies had invited me to another Bible study, and then that one that I went to, I came to understand that somebody that I deeply loved was going to go to hell, and it concerned me. I ended up calling my younger sister, who had been saved for about 15 years, and I was like, Chrissy, do you know that this person's going to hell? And she's like, I do, and I was like, what have you done about it? She's like, just mm-hmm. don't understand. And I was like, you're right, I don't. And so one of the first people that she'd ever heard speak was actually Ray Comfort, had come to her church. And so she had me buy one of his books, Way of the Master. And after reading that book, it was the first time I understood that I was going to hell. It was the first time I understood why anybody went to hell. And it was the first time I understood why Jesus died on the cross. It was the part of the book where it talks about the courtroom scenario and that Jesus pays our personal fine. And in the Bible study, they had talked about, when different people in the Bible encounter God, but they did. And so I got down on the ground and cried out to the Lord and repented, put my faith in Jesus. And in that moment, I realized that, and here I was 30 years old and never understood this message, this amazing message. And I just knew that everybody I knew had to find out. And so on my first outreach, it was about 2 weeks later, I had a garage sale. Handed out my first tracts at my garage sale. And 2 months later, I ended up buying the basic training course. And I had my dad in the basic training course, my Aunt Laura. And both of them still go out witnessing with me. My Aunt Laura goes to Pitt with me every Tuesday. And my dad goes witnessing with me at Booth. And so I got saved. It was a radical transformation. And I've been sharing my faith ever since.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for, you know, God saving and also, you know, giving that desire for us to go out and share the gospel. It's a wonderful thing that God allows us to be a part of that, to share the gospel with people, and it's what he uses to draw men to himself. They hear the gospel, and he uses that to draw people in, and just to be able to be a part of that, it's a blessing. And so, praise the Lord. And that was going to be my next question, actually, is how long after you got saved, you know, you were saved, I should say, did you start evangelizing? But you already pretty much answered that. It was basically immediately, which is, again, praise the Lord for that.
Denied.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about CCN. It's the Christian Collegian Network. What is the ministry, and how and when did it get started?
Amen. CCN was started in 2004 by Tiffany Galappi, and she just loved sharing her faith and going out on the college campuses, and so CCN has been around for a while. We're a smaller ministry, but we go into the college campuses, and we're missionaries to the college campus foremost. And so we go and share our faith, and then we invite students to do Bible study, and we train them up to go out and share their faith, and then take them out to outreach so that they'll be on the campuses and sharing their faith. And so we teach evangelism and apologetics. We also teach theology and life application. We want to make sure that the students are not only going out and sharing their faith, but we make sure that they're a part of a church and they have a pastor and they're putting into their churches. There's a generation that doesn't seem to like to go to church after they leave their parents' house, and so that's also an emphasis for us, is getting the students into a church.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, ultimately, it's important to share the gospel everywhere, but why do you think it's such a need at these universities?
When I first started, before I joined CCN, I was actually going out to the college campuses beforehand. And so one nice thing is that it is a great fishing hole, a weekly fishing hole, mm-hmm. and it's a great place that you can go week after week. And the students are willing to talk. They have left their homes, and now it's time for their faith to be their own. And so it's a great place when the students are willing to learn and to they're talking to other people about different ideas and their professors. The students come to Bible study telling me, oh, this biology professor told me today that if I believed in God, that I was an idiot. We end up having a lot of interesting conversations about different topics and helping them build themselves up regardless mm-hmm. of those things.
Right. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, getting into these college campuses, what is it that are there free speech zones, or do you have to go into the offices to get a permit to be on some of these college? Maybe some of them are different, but on some, do you have to have a permit, or on all, do you have to have a permit? What could you tell us about that?
All the colleges are very different. Some of the colleges, you have to get permission. Some of them, you have to get the permit, like you just said. Some of them, you can be anywhere you want outside of the building. Some of them, you can be in the buildings, but you can't pass anything out unless it's approved. Some of them you have to be with a college student, and so it really varies. You just have to go onto the college website and look everything up and find out. And oftentimes it's not readily available, and so you end up having to go over to the college and just see what happens at first. And be gentle and kind when you're approached by security mm-hmm. and find out what you're allowed to do.
Right, right. Now, You were going to college campuses, as you said before, before CCN, but when did you get involved with CCN, or how did you hear about CCN, and when did you get involved with that, as well as becoming the president of the Christian Collegian Network?
Amen. I'd heard about CCN years before on Wretched Radio. I guess it was Way of the Master Radio at the time when they were doing Witness Wednesdays, and Tiffany was on there all the time. I was going to the University of Pittsburgh for several years witnessing, and a couple of good Christian brothers about 45 minutes north of me up in Butler, PA, they have a ministry where they go witnessing three nights a week, and then they invite people to Bible study three nights a week. And I went up to encourage them. They were having like a crash course. I went up to encourage them and go witnessing with them. And we invited people to that Bible study. And people were like, where is it? What time? And I was like, wow, this is awesome. People like want to go to Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this is what I need to add to my, you know, this is what I need to add to my ministry. That same summer, John Chisholm said, oh, you have to come to Repent and Witness. I'm like, Repent and Witness? He's like, yeah, we go to New York City for 4 days and go witnessing. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I have plenty of people who aren't saved in Pittsburgh to witness to. He's like, no. I have to go to this. I was like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Repent and Witness and talked to people and realized that the CCN, that was what I needed to add to my ministry, getting on the campus and having that Bible study and then training up the students to go out and share their faith as well. And so I've been a part of CCN ever since. The Tiffany had left the ministry, and the board approached me and asked me if I had wanted to be president. And I'll be honest, I'd never wanted to be president. I was always just happy being a campus leader, but God has different plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord how he works those things out as well. You know,
Amen.
A lot of times we may be on, our mind may be set on one thing, and he may redirect it in the area where he wants us to be and be used for his glory. So praise the Lord for that, absolutely. You mentioned the college campus that you've been attending in Pennsylvania, where you're at. What are some of the other college campuses that are represented by CCN?
Amen. In Virginia, we have Tidewater Community College. In New York City, we have LCC, LaGuardia Community College, and CCNY in New York City. And then in Pottstown in PA, we have MC3, and then MI2, University of Pittsburgh and Slippery Rock. And then we have University of Cincinnati in Ohio, and then University of Minnesota,
Mm-hmm. And how close are those two universities that you are at? How close are those together? Is there a good distance from where you are?
Yeah, you know, it's funny is that some people are like, oh, I you know, I have to drive an hour to go witnessing, and I think that's a lie. I do that every day. they're about an hour from each other, and I live like in a triangle away from them. I live a little bit closer to the University of Pittsburgh, so it takes about 40 minutes to get to Pitt, but it takes an hour to get to Slippery Rock. So.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you go out there to those universities?
I go out there once a week. What I do is mm-hmm. I spend the morning witnessing. I get there around 9 a.m., witness to at least 11, and then I head over and eat and prepare for Bible study. And then I have Bible study. Sometimes afterwards I go witnessing. Sometimes the students need to talk, and so I'll hang out a little bit longer to talk to students. But we found that that's the best way, is to witness and have the Bible study on the same day.
Mm-hmm. Now, about the Bible study, you know, because I was going to ask you about that, but since you brought that up, is it's obviously it's on the campus. How does that work? Is it just an outside Bible study that you just get together with the students, or did you work something out with the school, or how does that work?
Right. Well, we only go on to public universities, ones that are state-funded. They have
mm-hmm.
They basically have to let us onto the campus. And what we do is we go into the cafeterias and we hold our Bible studies in the cafeterias until we become official on the campus, and then we can start booking rooms to be there. A couple of the college campuses, even if they're not official, the college campus allows them to go into rooms that aren't being used and to use those rooms for Bible studies. But the nice thing about having them in the cafeteria openly is then we have other people come and join us because they see a great big sign, they see that we're having Bible study, and they, mm-hmm. they're curious to stop by and ask questions. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah, it is a great point there because, you know, probably, like you said, they see it, it's open, they have the sign there, and so they're curious as to maybe wanting to come and sit in, whereas if it's in a room, they might not see that sign or they might just think it's another class that's going on that they're not part of. So, yeah. Well, that's interesting because I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of, you know, being able to speak to them about getting – you know, rooms or using the cafeteria and stuff, and so you learn a lot of things. That's why one of the reasons why I wanted to have you come on and speak about CCN so that you know, people can get this information and learn this kind of stuff. And then if they're interested in being a part of CCN, which is another question I have later on, you know, getting in contact and then, you know, finding out where to go from there. Around my area here, we have a community college that's just pretty close to us, and a friend of mine, he's wanting to try to get some things going there. He's been trying to get some tables and things set up or whatever as far as, you know, trying to have an outreach through the college there. And my church has just actually been able to get into the college as well, the community college. But I have been interested in going down. My work schedule, you know, because of my job, I don't have all the free time during the day, and my days rotate, so it's not like a consistent day that I could have. But we have Akron University, which is about an hour away from us, or away from me, and I've been wanting to get down there as well and, you know, do some campus outreach down there and try to get some guys together to go down. So this information is definitely helpful to learn about how to do ministry on a campus. So thank you again for coming on, for sure, because this is important things that we can learn from each other on again, campus ministry. So each campus has a representative. So what does the leader, the representative, do?
The campus leader, they are trained. We have a weekly training, about an hour of training for new campus leaders, and then we have an hour where we all get together. Right now, we're doing it on Sunday nights. The campus leaders, what they have to do is they have to come up with a plan of where they're going to meet with a student, come up with an outreach time. Once a month, they have to have an outreach off the campus. We found that the students are more willing to share their faith off the campus first than to share their faith on the campus. That's different everywhere, but most of the time, they want to try and share their faith off the campus first before they start sharing their faith with their peers. And so every week they have the campus leader has a Bible study, they have an outreach, and then once a month they have a CCN Saturday where they go someplace other than the location. And it has to be a place where the college students can get to. A lot of times they don't have a vehicle, so either you have to provide, you know, some sort of transportation, or you have to, you know, be in a location where the students can get to that outreach. And so we go into the college campuses, like the first week or so, our big push is to invite the students out to Bible studies. And so it's handing out flyers, collecting names and emails, and being able to invite the students out to Bible study. As the semester goes on then, our big push is obviously sharing the gospel after that point. And so, and then it's, as you share the gospel with students, you show, as they turn out to be Christians, then you show them, like, look, you know, we had a nice conversation. It was easy for me to bring up the gospel. You weren't offended by it. Now you understand, you know, you could see that your need for Jesus and the reasonableness of hell. And so, would you be interested in learning how to share your faith? And then so I get them to sign up and come out to CCN and learn how to share their faith. And so it also requires wisdom. It dealing with the students, the college campuses, if you're going there every week, like the at Pitt, the chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh is the same chancellor that was there when I went to Pitt 20 years ago. And so you have to have wisdom when dealing with the people because they may be there longer than you will, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to have wisdom when dealing with everyone. And you need to have wisdom when you're on the campus so that the students are going to want to come out to your Bible study. But you don't want to compromise the truth of the gospel. It requires lots of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about professors and maybe these chancellors and people? Have you been able to engage with them through, you know, handing them out flyers or tracts or just in conversation? Have they been, maybe, again, it's going to vary depending on who it may be, but have they been pretty receptive or has there been some good conversations?
Amen. At the University of Pittsburgh right now, I actually have two professors from mainland China coming out to my Bible study, and that's very exciting.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Amen. They're hungry as can be, and they really show you what it should be to be a Christian, because they sign up for every Bible study they can possibly go to, because when they go back to China, they'll have to go back to being underground. And so
Right. Their
desire to learn as much as they possibly can is just amazing. And I don't remember like what exactly he was a professor of, but it has something to do with society. And I'm teaching on, I don't know if you know the book, Apologetics for Glory God by John Frame, but I'm teaching through that right now. And they were just very excited about it. And it just kept shaking his head like, yes, this is exactly what it is. This is so true.
Wow, yeah.
And then it's Slippery Rock University. What I've been doing this year is I have those, you know, the IQ tests and stuff that Ray uses. You see the little track, and I have, like, version of it. And I have, like, six of them on one board, and I put those out. And I've, for the first time ever, I had somebody go through all the IQ tests, got them all right. And I had never, ever had that before. And it was crazy. It was cool, though, because he was a PhD. He was a professor of computer science. So I had something in common with him, and he was a Christian, and I was just ecstatic. The smartest person I'd ever met, and he was a Christian. I was very pleased.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that he'll be our student advisor, actually, up at Slippery Rock.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And you also mentioned earlier that the students they, when they do come in and you share with them about sharing their faith, they want to do it off campus before they do it on campus. So what are some of the other off-campus ministries that you guys do as well?
Amen. It's interesting because the off-campus ministry that they most of the time want to go do, and I guess it's because it's the most black and white, is going to the abortion clinics, which in my mind, is just the hardest ones ever to go to, but that's normally the one that they feel like, oh, you know, like, is definitely, you know, a good place to do ministry is in front of the abortion clinics. In my mind, mm-hmm. that is one of the stressful and emotional places to go share your faith. I've definitely had great ministry go on in front of the abortion clinics, but it's definitely the most stressful place to go. But other locations, like in New York City, there's tons of places to do ministry. They go into the parks and out on the street corners in the city. Here in Pittsburgh, we go. I have like an area that has an outdoor marketplace that we go to a lot of times. And I also during the summer and up until October, as I do booths at community days, and so I have IQ tests and we have a big sign that says, good person test, pass or fail, you win a prize. And then I have big bins of stuffed animals that hang from hooks all over the booth, you know, going up each side and across the top. And then we also give away hats. And then a big table of tracts and Bibles. And so kids come over, and they want those stuffed animals. The parents are happy that it's free. And the parents come over, and I say, you know, All you have to do is promise to take the test and be honest, and kids get a free stuffed animal. And parents, they ask, and I tell the kids, go ahead and get your stuffed animal. The kids, like, they spend like 10 minutes digging through these stuffed animals trying to pick the right one. So I have plenty of time to go through the gospel with the parents, and the kids are totally entertained. So it's a great outreach. And we've had times where I had three of us at the booth, and we each had a line of people waiting to talk to us. And so that is the one that I think the students should want to go to, because it's the easiest going one. People come up to you, and it's very low stress, and it's just a great outreach. Not this past Saturday, but two Saturdays before that, I had one young lady. I got to the point where I told her, in the courtroom scenario that, somebody had paid the fine, and that's what Jesus had done for her, that Jesus had died on that cross to pay her fine. And the young lady just started tearing up. And there was a little old man, a little old lady behind him, and I thought that they were her grandparents or something. And I could see them looking at her tearing up, and they started crying. And she just started bawling and ran away. I was like, oh! And so I grabbed the Bible and grabbed the stuffed animal and chased her down and gave her the stuff. And it was just one of the most beautiful things ever. And then, like, 10 minutes later, I had another group of young ladies, and she didn't run away, but another young lady just started crying when she understood, like, what Jesus had done for her. And it's moments like that just make it all worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord. It's definitely, like you said, when you see those types of things, they truly do make it worth it. And it's amazing that you can see it too on their faces when you're talking to someone and they get it, and they're really grasping and understanding the gospel being presented to them. It's giving someone the gospel that they might be saved, but it also blesses the person, sharing the gospel, because it's increasing your faith and your desire to want to share with more people, because you're seeing God do something right before your eyes. And we trust him that he's doing something even when we don't see things, but when you're able to witness that, praise the Lord, what a blessing that is,
Amen. And talk about blessings. I had students, out at the booth, and it's just so grateful that I've, taught these students how to share their faith. I've talked about roadblocks and stumbling blocks and how to share the gospel, and to see them out there doing it. And that is just an amazing thing. Amen.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say absolutely, yeah. And it is true. I've only been to, going back to a point that you made with the students liking to go to abortion clinics, I've been on the streets preaching. I've been at different events and festivals and parades, and I've only been to the abortion clinic one time because of my work schedule, and the people that go in the area where I'm at, they go on a Tuesday and a Friday, which, again, is my days rotate, so I only get one Tuesday off a month, one Friday off a month. And so I was finally able to go out with them, and that for me was the toughest place to be at to witness and to minister to people. And so that is amazing that would be the place that they would choose to go to.
Amen. And it's hard because you only have like 30 seconds. In Pittsburgh, it's probably different than other places. In Pittsburgh, I have a block and a half. People have to park in a parking garage, and then they have to walk a block and a half of a city street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to, stop them. I try to give them the gospel and then show them. I have those little rubber babies in the halls to call them. You see them, and I try and get one of those into their hands in a gospel tract. And I always try to make sure that that I share the gospel, because it's the gospel that is going to save. It's the gospel that's going to change their minds. If God doesn't open their eyes and change their hearts, they're not going to change their mind about going into those places. And so it is difficult. But on Saturday mornings when I go down there, I think they have like prisoner release or something like that on Saturday morning, early in the morning. And
oh, wow.
It's crazy because found these prisoners, these guys who just got released from prison, and they walked right by the abortion clinic down to the Greyhound, and those men are willing to stand there for like an hour and a half and talk about the Bible. About 3 months ago, we had this gentleman named Michael, and one of my friends, Mike Bell, was down there with me, and it was cool because I gave him the gospel and started talking, and then Mike came over, and he talked to him, and we were able to give him a Bible and pray with him, and the things that he talked about, you could just tell that, you know, God had been preparing in his heart ahead of time, and it was just a beautiful encounter. And several times down in Pittsburgh, it's not the ladies who are going to the abortion clinic that we minister to the most, but it's those gentlemen going by who have been just released from prison, and it's some good ministry down there. Yeah.
Right. Well, again, praise the Lord. The Word of God, as I said with my first guest, Beth, never returns void, as we know that. And so you may be out there at the abortion clinic, but like you said, these prisoner releases are going by, and other people that may be walking by, they hear that. So, you know, they're hearing the gospel. So praise the Lord for that. On the website, I see that, and you mentioned a few of these, but you guys have six pillars within CCN. And again, like I said, you mentioned a couple of them already. But could you share with us what those are and then a little bit about that?
Amen.
And so those are the basics of our ministry. Obviously, we have Bible study. We have fellowship. You know, evangelism is the heart of CCN, going out and sharing our faith and training up students to go out and share their faith and having crash courses to go out and share their faith. Gifts, talents, and abilities. That is a great thing. It came about by accident on one of the campuses. The students just had so many talents, and so they would sing, and then they would get up and share the gospel, or they would rap and then share the gospel, or they'd step. And so we had a step team in New York City in Times Square, and we were able to gather this crowd of about 150 people, and then one of the students got up and preached the gospel. It was amazing. This gentleman from Egypt came over afterwards, and he was so excited. He's like, you talked about Jesus openly, and all these people heard, and he was so excited. It was the most precious thing that
how
encouraged he was. Yeah. And so the gifts, talents, and abilities is, you know, that sometimes the students have these great gifts, and so to allow them to use those gifts and then be able to use them to share the gospel of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ is just, an amazing thing. Amen.
Yeah, that is. That's awesome. You know, and like you said, you know, having people come up and affirm that and just say, wow, that's amazing to have somebody come up and say, wow, you opened Christ up to all these people openly, you know, and it just... It's amazing. I think sometimes we take it for granted here in America, that freedom that we do have to be able to do that. And people from these other countries, like you said, the two men in your Bible studies that are from China and then this man from Egypt, I think we tend to take that for granted a little too much of what the Lord
right.
has blessed us with here.
And it's amazing when you go onto the college campuses, especially the first few weeks, you have people on those college campuses. Like at the University of Pittsburgh, I believe we have 1,500 students from mainland China, and
uh-huh.
they've never heard of Jesus. They don't know that anybody believes in God, right? And you witness to them, and you have to explain to them what the Ten Commandments are and who brought them and why those Ten Commandments are important, and you have to reason with them and show them that, look, you know that these things are true, and it makes for an interesting day. One of the first times I was on the University of Pittsburgh, I had this young Chinese woman, and I guess there was 20 of them, but the one of them spoke English. And so I would tell her, and then she'd turn around and tell the rest of the 20 college students behind her what I was talking about. And it took an hour to get through the gospel because they didn't understand anything about the Bible. And so they didn't even understand what the Ten Commandments were. And so it was a very interesting day, but it was very cool because I didn't have to go to mainland China. I just had to go onto the local college campus. Another time I was on the way to Bible study and started witnessing to a Muslim young man. And so he thought I was following him, but then he ended up following me. He says, as we got to the building, we're into the elevators. He's like, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going upstairs to teach about the Bible. He says, you're having a Bible study. I said, yes. And so he followed me up and sat down, and I spent an hour and a half showing him Jesus through the whole entire Old Testament. And it was very interesting.
Wow.
My students got to watch me witness. And it was cool because he asked all sorts of questions that I've been going over with them. And so they got to see, you know, all the things that they had just learned in action. And then they were willing to stay later for Bible study after I got done witnessing to him. So it was a very cool teaching moment and witnessing.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, and praise the Lord for that, too. That's another wonderful thing that the Lord allows us to do. It's like I had a friend of mine. He comes on the show sometimes and helps me out, named Rich. And I asked him to do a segment for me on the show. And so he prepared this whatever the topic was at the time, he prepared this little segment for it. And then the next day, it was either the next day or within that week, he's like, hey, thanks for asking me to do that, because wouldn't you know at work somebody asked me a question about that. That same thing. And if I wouldn't have prepared that, I wouldn't have known. You know, so it's amazing that, you know, some of the times the things that we're studying or you're teaching the people in the Bible study, it, like, the Lord brings that right to you to be able to use it, the stuff that's right fresh in your mind. You know, it's another example of how great God is, you know, in doing that, his sovereignty and his providence in that. It's just, it's amazing.
Amen. I had that happen today. I was going to teach about the different things that the atheist worldview could not account for. And the last person that I witnessed to, one of the students was with me, the last person we witnessed to was an atheist. And I got to use all the different things. And so then when I was teaching, they were like, oh, you just used that. And we saw how that was used. It was very
right.
Cool for them. They'd seen me use it earlier, and they're like, oh, and now you're teaching us. And they were so excited. So it was very cool. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise the Lord. Can you tell us a little bit about the evangelism camps and mission trips with CCN?
Amen. We go to New York City. It's called Repent and Witness. You can go to repentwitness.com and sign up for that. That is 4 days of witnessing. And so what we do is we get up early in the morning, and we have Bible study, and then we eat, and then we have 2 different teachings, and then we hit the streets probably about from noon until 11 o'clock at night, and then we have a debriefing at the end. And so we try to go to 2 different locations every day, and it is just all day preaching, all day witnessing, and we just have a great time. So we go out to Times Square, we go out there witnessing and open our preaching and handing out tracts, and we open our preach on the subways to the location, we preach on the subways on the way back to the locations, and we set up the IQ tests, and we open our preach, and we just have amazing witnessing encounters. We have one location, which is Union Square, and there's several people who are professional hecklers. They're homeless, and we have been interacting with them for years and years. And they are, if you can deal with those guys as hecklers, you can open up reach anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, we have we've just been calling them time wasters, but they started coming to Christ. And so I appreciate that, you know, they have heard the gospel thousands of times. And after all these years, 2 of them have come to Christ, and so I just think that that's amazing. Amen.
Right. Yeah, amen. Absolutely.
Amen. But you know what? When you go to an event like Repent and Witness, you're changed because we're handing out tracts the whole time. We're witnessing the entire time. And so then when you leave there, if you continue in that pace, then you continue to share your faith all the time, everywhere, no matter where you're at. And so Repent and Witness can really build you up and really train you, and then everybody that's there is always willing to help each other to learn, and I recommend it. It is the best event of the year. We just have such a great time.
Now, the Repent and Witness, these evangelism camps, now is that only for leaders or is that's open to everyone?
Oh, no, Repent Witness is open to anyone. Absolutely.
Okay.
The publication is a little bit long, but it's definitely necessary.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So go on
and you know, join us. We stay in Manhattan at a wonderful location, and yeah, it's great.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I'll have to look into. Again, I'm going to post the links to the website, CCN website, up on the G220 radio page, so that people are listening and they hear this stuff, they can go there and link it to them or to CCN, so they can get some of this more information about that. But what about the evangelism crash course? Could you explain to us a little bit about that?
Amen. The evangelism crash course, we will go to a church for free. We just charge the price that it costs us to get to the location and the price for the tracts that we bring and printing costs. But other than that, it's an event where we just get the ask for the cost. And so I can't say, oh, it costs this much, because if everybody's in New York City and your church is in New York City, then the cost is almost nothing. And so it just depends where it is. But basically what we do is we teach everybody how to share their faith. And so, we talk about why you have to share the law. We teach everyone to do the good person test. We share basics on apologetics. And then we take everybody to go out and share their faith. And so we try and have small teams so that people can watch someone else do it, and we can encourage people and help them to hand out their first gospel tract and help people get into their first conversations. And normally people are very transformed. We have churches that have had us come back more than once because they were so excited about the new ministry that they've been starting to do, and so more people wanted to learn how to do it. So it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise the Lord again. It's always a wonderful thing, and being able to offer that free according to, you know, distance and stuff like that as well, but being able to go into these churches and offer that type of ministry to people to help them to grow in their evangelistic efforts is always a wonderful thing, again, that the Lord provides. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
One more thing is that we are always looking for new campus leaders, people who love to go out and share their faith, and people who love the college students and that they want to train them up to go out and share their faith. It's not an easy job being a campus leader. It's definitely a work of perseverance and love, but we're always looking for evangelists that are interested in going out onto the college campus and to share their faith. And so we're looking for people who are interested in those kind of things.
So if somebody, this is one of the questions I was going to have, but if someone is interested in becoming involved with CCN and getting into the campus ministry, becoming a campus leader or just helping out at one of these campuses that or going to one of these campuses where there's already a leader, what does that process look like?
Amen. You go to the website, changeyourcampus.com. On the left-hand side, there's a link for Start a New Campus, and there's a quick application on that page that just lets me know, hey, you're interested, and it's like a phone number, an email, and a name, and then I send out a huge application. One of the people that filled out the application, she was like, I don't even have time to fill out this application. I get a regular job that's not this. But the key is that it is a lot of work, and I'm not even going to kid you about that. It's a lot of work, and so if somebody isn't willing to fill out that long application, they're probably not going to have the time to actually be a campus leader.
Right. Because
you have to some of our campus leaders like to write their own lessons. Some campus leaders use lessons that we already have written. And so you figure when I write a new lesson, it takes me at least 8 hours. Sometimes it takes me 3 days of 8 hours to prepare the lesson and to make and teach it really well. And then you have a day of being on campus. witnessing and teaching, and then you have emails that you're sending out to the students to let them know when your Bible study is, and then you have preparations for any of the events that you're going to have. And so it is a lot of work to be a campus leader, but it's worth it. The students learning how to share their faith, them being bold on the campuses, seeing people come to Christ, sharing the gospel with people, it's worth it.
Right. Yeah, and it's a necessary thing as well. Like you said, it's to fill out all the information if they were interested in doing that. I know that's something that I've tried to be a little more consistent with in the people that come out with us to, you know, share the gospel on whenever we have an outreach or something going on. I don't try to limit people completely and say, well, you know, if you've never shared your faith before, you can't come. Right? But I like to try to at least get, because I know it's part of a training, you know, to get people out there for the first time, but I like to at least kind of know if they understand the gospel, know if they could explain it, maybe not perfectly the first time, but they can explain it and really understand what the gospel is. So I like to try to do that myself with people that are coming to come out for the first time to kind of get to know them a little bit, because with so much false teaching out there, it's important to have an understanding of who these people that are going to be out there with you are. And, of course, you got to be able to give people grace to grow. Like you say, when you get these new students in, these college, university students who are wanting to learn how to share your faith, of course we give them grace to learn how to do it. And we're not, because even, you know, people who's been out there doing it for a long time still make mistakes, you know, so we have to be willing to give grace, you know. But, yeah, it is important to kind of get that basic background of, you know, and information from those who would be interested in doing something like that.
Amen. You know what, even if they're with the students, I always try to give them a copy of Hell's Best Kept Secret and True or False Conversion, and I try and give them a copy of God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. And the other thing is that if they're not students, I email them a link to Hell's Best Kept Secret and True and False Conversion, and if they're going to go out witnessing with me, they have to respond back that they're good with that message. I learned several years ago, very early on, that was a very important thing to do. I had been down at the University of Pittsburgh. One of my friends had friends of hers come with us to witness, and there was this huge crowd. I was so excited, so I jumped up and I shared the gospel with everyone, and then one of the guys that was with us was fanatical. He was like, "You just told them that they were going to go to hell," and he started yelling at me, and I was like, "I just shared the gospel. There's 50 people, and you're going to yell at me." And so I had to, like, walk away, because I was like, there's no way I'm going to let all these people watch two Christians argue. So I was like, I walked away. And after that moment, I understood that I was not going to go let anybody come witnessing with us who did not say.
Right.
Know, yeah. These two teachings are, if they don't say those two teachings are true, they're not coming out witnessing with me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that, like I said, I try to be as consistent with it as possible. There are some times where people show up, or you may put us something out as an outreach or whatever, and somebody may show up. But I try to, when that happens, to put them with somebody who's, you know, been out there, so they can kind of see how they're doing and help them along if they need help. But then also, if they're saying something that's wrong or, you know, an error, that we can correct them in love. If it's just an error because they're not trying to be an error. Maybe that's how they've been taught, or, you know, but to correct them and go from there. Because I know, like, at this the last night we did our Rockin' on the River outreach, I had a guy who he was one of my students when I was at a previous church. He was one of my teens, and he was always faithful coming to church and coming to the class. And he came out the last two nights that we did the Rockin' on the River. It was a Friday night event, and the first night he just wanted to observe and just watch what we were doing. And then the next Friday night when he came out, he was actually handing out tracts. But I could tell he still wasn't completely comfortable with getting into conversation, so I just kind of stood by him. And when a conversation would come up, if somebody asked, well, what is this gospel tract? You know, I would kind of step in there to help show him, you know what I mean? And so, it's a very important thing to know at least their background for sure, absolutely. What are some of the things that you're, as far as looking for the future in with CCN, what are some of the things you'd like to see CCN doing in the future?
Amen. I definitely would like to see us continue what we're doing now. In the future, and this is probably like 5 years out, I'd like to see us have mission trips to a couple other cities, as well as we'd like to be more involved in the local church. And so we'd like to be an organization where a pastor or a church near the college campuses decides, you know, we want to have this college ministry, and you know what, there's probably tools out there. And so they would, you know, have send someone to the college campus through CCN. And that way, you know, the pastor's involved and the church is involved. And so we are tools for that church or tools for that campus leader. And that way the campus leader is not just the campus leader on the college campus, but they have their pastor behind them and they have this church. And so not only are they witnessing to the college students, but they're bringing them to their church. And so we become tools for the church and an outreach for the church. And that is definitely where we would like to be. So that would be very good. It's very cool because I have one of the students that comes to my Pitt Bible study is going to start coming to our church. And that is just very exciting to me, especially since it's 45 mm-hmm. minutes away. Yeah, but if there are
right.
people,
wow.
the church is right across the street. One of our campus leaders, his church is right across the street from the college campus, and that is just so exciting because then when he's out there witnessing, he's also inviting those people to his church, and mm-hmm. I just think that's the way to go.
Yeah, and most likely with many of the college students, I know when I went down to Ashland University with my friend Joe Conkle, who was having the biggest question giveaway down there. And so I went down to be a part of that with him. And some of the conversations that I got into with some of the students was they don't have transportation. So
right.
it's hard for them to get to a church if the church is, you know, an hour away or you know, so is there something around the college itself that would be churches are usually willing to let people come in, but something that's preaching good biblical doctrine and open to saying, hey, you know, I would love to bring you guys as a part of a ministry that helps us bring these people to, you know, our church and be there for them to kind of back that up once you're out there sharing the gospel, and then people from our church out there maybe get out there with you guys. And that is definitely a plus for college students because of that transportation that they may not have.
Amen. And so I do, one young man who came to Christ, and I say that he came to Christ because we witnessed to him, and he's been going to our church since Easter, and he comes every week, and now he's in a Bible study, and if you talk, you know, he's really showing fruit, so I'm very excited. And so we were going all the way down to Oakland, you know, down to Pitt, to bring him to our church, and then it turned out what somebody else in our church lives real close by, and so now they're picking that person up and bringing them to church, and that is just, you know, so exciting. I'll be honest,
mm-hmm.
I'm thrilled.
Right. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jennifer, we are down to, you know, just a few minutes left in the show, and if you could just go ahead and share the gospel with us. And any before you do that, any last things you'd like to say, but then go ahead and share the gospel with the listeners.
Amen. ChangeOurCampus.com. We are about going onto the college campuses and witnessing to the students and then training them up to go out and share their faith. And amen. The mm-hmm. The important part to know first is the not-so-good news. The not-so-good news is that we've all lied, we've stolen. The Bible says if you lust after a person, you commit adultery with them in your heart. If you hate someone, you murdered them. If you sing God's name in vain, said, oh, my G-O-D or O-J-C, then you've blasphemed. God judges you by the Ten Commandments. You've even broken one. You'd be guilty and end up in hell. God is rich in mercy, and he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of those who repent and put their trust in him. On the third day, he goes again. Fulfillment of the scriptures. Jesus is fully God and fully man and died on the cross for you. So you broke God's law, and Jesus paid your personal fine when he died on that cross. But you have to repent and turn from your sins. Now, when you repent and put your faith in Jesus, what he does is he gives you a helper, the Holy Spirit. He makes you a new person. And so what happens is that God helps you to repent. He helps you to change. And so what you have to do is you have to live a life that shows that God is your Lord and that you are living your life for him. And so you should live your life bearing fruit, showing your repentance and being full of good deeds, and then go out and share your faith, read your Bible every day, and find a good Bible-believing church. And if you need to know if it's a good church, just ask them if they believe that the Bible is literal and 100% true, and if they give you any kind of buts, ands, or ifs, then leave that church. It's not the church for you. Thank you so much.
Amen. And thanks again, Jennifer, for coming on. And like I said, I will post some links to CCN on the Facebook page, and so that if you are looking to find out more information from there, you can contact them that way. Again, Jennifer, thanks for being on the show. I really do appreciate your time and coming on to share the information about CCN with us.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much for having me on. It was just a great blessing. God bless you.
ChangeYourCampus.com. Yeah, ChangeYourCampus.com. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And we will be right back after this quick commercial break. The purpose of G220 Radio is to discuss a variety of topics within the Christian faith. I believe the Word of God is the final authority in the Christian's life, and in it you will find everything you need to know and live by in your Christian faith. Would you like to know more about G220 Radio? Go to g220radio.blogspot.com, where you can find past episodes of the show that will link you right to the Blog Talk site. Also, G220 Radio is a production of Disciple Making Ministries. If you go to rickygantz.blogspot.com, you will find information in how to get in contact with the ministry. You will also find past blog posts that I pray will be an encouragement and a blessing to you, and some may be challenging and convicting. If G220 Radio has been an encouragement to you, here is how you can help out the show. If you have an iTunes account, go and follow G220 Radio so you can listen to past episodes through podcast, and while you are there, rate the show. The more the show is rated with higher ratings will help get the show into the new and noteworthy category on iTunes, and will help promote the show and possibly get it to other viewers who might not normally come across the show. I would also like to encourage you to leave feedback comments about the show on iTunes. And don't forget to look up G220 Radio on Facebook and on Twitter. You can follow the show on those sites and interact with the show, sharing your thoughts by leaving comments for each show, letting me know if the show was an encouragement to you, or even if you have corrective criticism for the show. All feedback is welcome. Just keep the language clean. Another way you can help promote the show is to share it with your friends on Facebook and Twitter. And the most important way you can help support G220 Radio is by praying for the show. I would truly appreciate your prayers and consider it a blessing. Thank you again for all your support, and I hope you enjoy the rest of G220 Radio. Well, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight and listening to the show. That really wasn't the commercial that I was going to play at the end, but I clicked the wrong button, so that went a little bit long. Next week, the show is subject to change, but we are going to be trying to have a talk on a look at eschatology, looking at dispensational premillennialism. So that will be next week, unless things change. So until next week, God bless.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
Now T-Mobile has unlimited for the rest of us, and it starts as low as $30 per line for 4 lines. So if you want your family to take 800 vacation selfies to share with the world, now you can. Get unlimited for everyone now starting as low as $30 per line for 4 lines from T-Mobile. Call 1-800-T-Mobile or visit a store today.
During congestion, users on this plan may notice speeds lower than other users and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs per month. Video streams at 480p with AutoPay, plus taxes and fees. Unlimited data while on our network.